to the Steve Cochran Show.
The General Assembly is here in Springfield, but Speaker Madigan has ordered them to do nothing.
The governor has adopted a no-compromise position, which will keep the state in chaos for several weeks and months.
It's already passed, but they're hiding it. They're holding it. They're not sending it to my desk.
You just can't make it up. Ugh. Illinois Education Secretary Beth Purvis joins us now. I appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming on. I don't envy your job, but somebody's got to save the schools. Are you up to it?
Well, I think if we all work collaboratively together, we can land this plane and we can make sure that schools receive their funding on time.
Can you talk to the children in charge and tell them to play nice?
Well, I am just going to, I'm here in Springfield. I am waiting for the bill to arrive on the governor's desk and so that we can move this process forward.
Pat Brady's here. Andre's here as well. We'll get them in just a second. But let's start with the basics. What's equitable funding? Do City of Chicago schools need a lot more money? And by percentage, how much more? And what do we know?
Well, first of all, I think we should all look at the fact that what is being discussed is historical funding for all 852 school districts. Through the bipartisan bicameral commission that built upon the work that's been occurring in this state for decades, the General Assembly came together and agreed that we needed a new school funding formula that would set an adequacy target for all 852 districts based on the needs of the students, and then would distribute those dollars in a way that makes sure that our neediest districts, our districts with the greatest gap between what they currently funds they have available and what they need to spend to deliver a high quality education, would be there. And the governor supports that bill. In fact, 1124, which is Senator Barrickman's bill, Senate Bill 1, the bill that was passed, and actually the governor's AV will all share those two very important pieces of the model. And that will ensure that all districts, including the Chicago Public Schools, which serves 19% of our students and has a high percentage of low-income kids, that they will receive the money that they need and they will receive an increase in FY18 over FY17.
With all due respect, Beth, because I appreciate the work you do and I respect you, to the average person driving to work, their head just exploded. If the city has 20% of what you're talking about, it costs more money to run a school in the city than it does, say, in Bloomington or downstate somewhere. Having said that, simplify it for us. Does the city need more money than the rest of the state needs?
It does not need more money than the rest of the state, but it does need more money than, say, districts who have a low percentage of high-income kids. So I would say districts like Chicago, like Peoria, East St. Louis, who all have Waukegan, Cicero, who serve high percentage of children who live in poverty, need more money than they're currently getting.
Beth,
and the governor's AV will make sure that occurs.
Beth, to be clear, though, this is not a bailout. So if neither Senate Bill 1 or 1124 does not pass, this doesn't mean that the schools will not open. It's just the whole bottom line issue problem, whatever you want to call it, is bailing out the Chicago Public Schools that Rauner does not want to approve, rather than providing extra funding for with the pensions.
So the way that I would say it is, the way that Senate Bill 1 was written, that there are things in there, credit for historical pension costs that started about $506 million for FY18, and I've been told will increase to as much as $1 billion. By having that in the school funding formula, by addressing legacy pension costs within the school funding formula, it will divert funds from other needy districts. The governor believes that legacy pension costs should be addressed in a separate bill. The governor also believes that Chicago Public Schools should either receive their normal pension costs or they should receive the block grant. They should not get both in their base funding minimum. And SB 1 has legacy pension costs, which I will tell you in the commission was there was no agreement that that should be in there. And again, the governor has been very clear that he does not believe Chicago Public Schools should get both the full block grant of $250 million in its base funding minimum and the normal pension costs and retiree health care costs, which are $221 million in FY18. And the governor believes that those things should be changed in SB 1.
So and that's why, but that's why, that's why the governor needs to see the bill. This is the part where you have to, the governor has to see the bill to exercise his mandatory veto. And then if the House and Senate feel they have the votes to override, they can execute that because that's the way the process works. So the stall is ridiculous. Let me get Pat in here. Go ahead, Pat.
Hello, Beth. How you doing? To me, just listening to the questions, it does sound like a big bailout. If it's a historical pension costs that taxpayers are going to pick up for the city of Chicago, it is a bailout.
Well, pick one. You get the block grant or you get the other. And then we negotiate from there. But don't ask for all of it. And if you ask for all of it, that's fine. Well, ask for all of it, now negotiate.
We just got a big tax increase, and now we want a bailout for the Chicago public schools. If you're in the suburbs or live downstate, that's not something you want to see.
And this bill was passed 57 days ago. You know, the budget bill, the tax increase, they got to the governor's desk, I think, in 60 minutes. Why is it going to take 60 days to get this bill to the governor's desk?
And the speaker,
all the governor is asking is to be able to have, you know, he has the authority. His role is to sign it, to veto it, or AV it. He's been very clear that he's going to AV it, get it to his desk so the process can move forward, so that kids, parents, teachers, administrators, and communities to know that the money will flow to their schools and their students can get the high-quality education they deserve.
And again, this is what the listeners ought to be appalled by, because the stress this creates for parents and for kids on whether their schools are going to open on time is appalling. Now, what is the law in regards to the schools opening on time? I thought we lived in a state where there was a law that said schools have to open by a certain date.
That's a question I think you'd have to ask the Illinois State Board of Education. I will say that, you know, we have a state that every child is has the right to a free and appropriate education that for every student in the state. And we're concerned that by holding up this bill, we are holding up that process. In addition, the comptroller has not yet released the Q3 and Q4, what are called mandatory categorical payments. So schools are owed about $850 million from FY17. And so we also call on the comptroller to release at least those Q3 dollars so that schools have the cash on hand that they need to open their doors.
Okay, why is she not releasing that?
That is a question for the comptroller. We believe that, and I think there have been conversations with her from many people saying she can at least release those Q3 dollars. Again, Q3 and Q4 is $850 million. The districts are across the state are owed for their mandated categorical payments, which is, you know, serving students with disabilities, serving English language learners, transportation for special education students. The districts, so when you add this, what is now a 56 or 57 day delay in sending the bill, and the fact the comptroller will not release those Q3 and Q4 payments, it is creating a crisis in all 800, well, not all, but in those districts that serve a high percentage of low-income kids, including the Chicago Public Schools, and those districts who, because of proration of general state aid or the fact that the General Assembly did not fully fund schools from 2009 to 2015, a lot of them have burned through their cash reserves. So this cash flow issue is a really big one for schools.
Nobody runs a business like this. How can you run, you know, politicians standing up going, oh, it's the kids. It's all about the kids. Kiss my butt. It's all about the kids. You care about yourself. And let me tell you something. When it comes to the comptroller, let's give me an email address, Andrea, for the comptroller.
Sure.
So we can let every listener know that they should be emailing the comptroller today and demanding an answer to why those Q3, Q4 payments haven't been released. And when will they be?
Well, and I will tell you, I've been talking to superintendents, and I've been saying to superintendents, you're critical thinkers, you understand the business of running schools. And I'm saying I would love for you to support the governor's mandatory veto, and when he gets the bill, we will be very clear what that is. But more importantly, I'm asking them to do two great things. Call their elected officials and tell them to have the bill sent to the governor's desk today. And number two, call the comptroller and tell her to release the mandated categoricals.
info@SusannaMendoza.com. I urge you to flood her email box with a very simple question. Where are the Q3, Q4 payments to schools who have the majority of needy and underprivileged kids? Choose your own wording if you like. Where are the Q3, Q4 payments that we are told are available, and why haven't you released those funds? info@SusannaMendoza.com. Pat, last question.
No, I have no questions.
All right. Well, let me throw one more in here from a listener then, Beth, if I could. This is from someone who I believe is a teacher. The CPS teachers contract shows that the teachers pay 2% of their pension obligation. The rest of the teachers in the state pay 9%. Do you know if there is a pension equitability clause that's a part of the New Deal for teachers across the state?
I don't believe in Senate Bill 1 there is a pension equity deal. I think the governor has talked over and over again about the need for overall pension reform. And I think there have been conversations about districts about some cost shifts, but that is not in Senate Bill 1.
I appreciate your time. We're going to have to do this again. Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hopefully we won't have to, but I'm sure we will.
Never nervous, Purvis. She's good.
Yeah, well, I mean, imagine that job.
It's the hardest job. Yeah. The most important job, if you think about it, other than public safety.
But you're around politicians for most of your adult life. Does anybody have the stomach to hear one more time a politician stand up and go, hey, we're here for the kids?
Well, particularly
we're here for the kids.
Particularly Pat. The controller who claims to be and supposed to be independent from politics. The controller just basically hands out checks.
Right.
And she's not
That's what the job's supposed to be.
And she's not handing out checks because the speaker told her not to hand out the checks because we need to create a crisis to put pressure on the four or five Republicans so they can get their Chicago schools bailout.
And as always, Susana Mendoza is welcome here as well. Let's see, Susana Mendoza, J.D. Pritzker, J.B. Pritzker, J.D. as well, and Mike Madigan. Yeah, you're all welcome here. Together, separately, somebody show up and answer a few questions.